I would like to see for around 15 minutes how, if there are any questions which are with you at this moment. Jamashtami has one, our devotee from Israel, Padmavati, our Siddheshwari, two Madhajis, Nayanam, oh Krishna, so we have to try our best, Nayana Manjari and Ratnabhushana's mother. So, Jamashtami, please.
Just a quick question. I missed the Sanskrit for the third Upanishadic method for learning.
Nididhyasan. It means meditation. Nidhi, N-I-D-H-I. Nidhi. Dhyasan, like dhyana. Dhyasan. Meditation. And the fourth method, which Baladev Vidya Bhushana has added, is of course praying, Vandanam. We Vaishnavas feel that just only hearing, reflecting, and meditating about a subject is not enough to realize it in the heart. We have to pray. Like Sanatana Goswami did to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for realization. Thank you. Another, who was the next one which we had on the list? Dharmagup. Please speak into the microphone. According to Jaiva Dharma, the Madhurya Rasa manifests in two ways. As Madhurya and as Audarya. Audarya is the prevalent mood in Chepabu's Leela. And we'll hear about this just after this. But when you generally, the understanding is that you are fixed in your rasa with Krishna. There are, of course, you spoke of Sakya Rasa, the friends of Lord Krishna. There are some friends who have an insight into Krishna's Madhurya affairs with Radharani. For instance, Subalsaka. Subalsaka sees Krishna and he sees Krishna is very dejected, and he asks Krishna, who sits on a stone, Krishna, what is? Krishna says, nothing. And Subalsaka says, I know there's something because you look so dejected. Then Krishna turns his back to Subalsaka and cries hot tears which fall on his chest. And he says between the tears, nothing is. Subalsaka says, you must feel separation from Radharani. And then, ooh, Krishna cries. And this is an example of Sakya Rasa, where there is one understanding of, there's understanding of Madhurya, but the experience nevertheless remains Sakya Rasa. But how Madhurya Rasa comes into Gauranga's pastime, and therefore is distributed to everyone in this world, is a secret which I am not qualified to speak about, so I will speak to you in the language of Bhaktivinoda Thakur about this. I will read from him. Any other question? Yes, please can you help us again with your good name, Prabhu? Madhu Mangal. Madhu Mangal also has a glimpse into Krishna's Madhurya Rasa, the original one. Yes, Madhu Mangal. The scattered rocks a little bit. Yes, there is an explanation. I hope it is a correct explanation. You know, when Hanuman was looking for mountains to build the bridge of Rama to Lanka. You know about this bridge. He also came to Giriraj. And he went under Giriyash and said, I'm taking you now to in the service of Ram. At that time, Krishna had not appeared. Giriyash said, no, I've just come here to wait for Krishna's appearance. But you don't want to serve Ram? I will take you by force. So Hanuman was struggling to take Giriyash, shaking. Giriyash was holding firm to the ground of Braj. Finally, fortunately, the news came, the bridge is just completed, no need of any further mountains or rocks. And then, as I said, Giriyash became interested. He had heard, you know, about the servants of Ram. Hanuman was so determined, so ekanti bhakti to Ram, that he heard about wanted to hear about the master of Hanuman. So he heard some of Ram Katha, and then he heard also that I think Ram was personally talking to him, and Ram said, you will not serve me, you will wait, Krishna will come and you will serve Krishna. But since that time, Krishna, Giriyash is a little rocky. It's from Hanuman. That's what I heard. That is a itihasa story. That's a story which is told here in Vrindavan. I have not read it in any scriptures, but Prabhupada once said, if you want to know stories of Krishna, go to the Brijvasis. It has this much of value. It's a traditional mouth-by-mouth thing. There must be other explanations. There is one explanation which we know, is that Giriyash sinks into the ground. And some say it's because Kali Yuga is approaching. But Sanatana Goswami says it's not entirely correct. He sinks into the ground because he feels separated from Krishna. So he, every day he, the size of a mustard seed, becomes smaller. Good. Any other? Sideshwari was there, and Nishingapriya, and Manas, yes. Sideshwari, please ask your question. I think you must go, yes, you must turn it another way. It's called a feedback, which happens when the microphone is too close to the speaker. In situations where unexpected things do happen, you need to talk to either devotees who know you very well, or if your spiritual master can be reached, to your spiritual master. It's almost like when you drive and you everything is right on the roadmap, but still you're not reaching, or something unexpected happens, then you turn to the people on the road who know. Where do I get here? Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. You have that old roadmap. Some new things have been done here. You go left, right, and then you reach. So we must turn to devotees on the way. That is very important. And Raghunath Das Goswami describes another situation in which we absolutely need to turn to devotees. This situation is not like the first one which I described, where you need some detailed information to deal with a certain situation which you have, which has maybe not been described in Shastra, or at least you do not know that it's described. Hare Krishna, welcome. Please sit with us. He describes when there are certain obstacles in our spiritual life, obstacles which are brought about by a particular coming together of our the highway robbers, lust, greed, illusion, and so on, which put us into confusion. He says, at that time, one must call out the names of the devotees. Oh, Prabhupada! Oh, our spiritual master! Oh, this devotee, that devotee, and take help there. Some situations do happen which we could not foretell, where we really need help of devotees. To the devotees who are in our surroundings. Sometimes we stop communicating and only communicate with the mind. Hare Krishna. Yes, my dear Matajis, this is what happens very much in the Mataji existence of life. Hare Krishna, yes. I believe what is very important, you need to find out how you function. You need to observe yourself a little bit, and you need to become sensitive to also your mistake, which you repeat and repeat and repeat. When, in other words, we become mental, we know, oh yes, this is a typical syndrome which I have. I become mental and withdrawn. And we should see, it never helped us to become like this. So let me not now repeat the same destructive pattern. In other words, some understanding of how we work, and then some understanding what works for us at that time needs to be, we need to have that and we need to apply it. It's almost, you know, like every one of us. We have a certain body, and then we have, especially when we get older, like when you turn over 50, you always have the same, in German language you say simple lines. These are small diseases which you can cure yourself when you know how it works. For instance, in my case, when I cut myself, there is one medicine. If I apply it within 3 hours of the cut, I cannot get infected. But if I don't apply it, I will get pus and get infected. So I know already how my body is. I always carry this with me, this flask. And when I cut myself, like I cut myself here, see, it's healing very nicely. I just go like, and that's 1 minute, and then you are cured. So you need to know this about also with your mind. When you get in a certain situation, then you know, oh, this is about the 1,800th time where this happens to me. Now I need this. And then you do it. You need to be a Prabhus and Matajis. Let's be practical and not like little children. It's a road. We are on a road. We are traveling. When something happens, you need to just quickly solve it without being mental, and you need to know what is it and what works, and then do it. It's just no need to spend endless hours in the conversation of the mind. Hare Krishna. Nisinga Priya.
He spoke about Kalidas Thakur, and how he was in a previous life a Brahmin who offered some item which was fallen down on the ground.
Yeah.
And I was wondering, and because of that had to be born in a Muslim body.
Yeah.
And I was wondering, is Krishna really so cruel to put such a heavy punishment, or is it that Krishna wanted to intensify the longing of this devotee?
Thank you very much for this question, Nishinga Priya. I'm extremely grateful for this question, because when this was out of my mouth, I just read it in Murari Gupta's Chaitanya Charita. I read it at Govindakund, and I remember when I read it, I thought, what, have I seen this right, or am I a little tired? I read it 3 times because I couldn't believe it. Then I was looking at Govinda Kund, where Madhavendra Puri chanted and Krishna appeared with a glass of milk and I remembered the kindness of Krishna to his devotee, and I just couldn't remember. Imagine for every little thing which has fallen down in your puja, you have to be born in Turkmenistan and be married by force to another Muslim man you have never seen. I'm just painting a scenario which is not very appealing. The only way I really can understand it, that Krishna wanted to show the glories of devotional service, how strong devotional service is, how you're never restricted by caste or birth and so on. And in this way, this information has come. There are also other reasons why Haridas Thakur was born in a Muslim family. We hear that in the Chaitanya literature that Lord Brahma felt so extremely sorry after he had stolen the cowherd boys and in this way committed the offense of separating the devotees from Krishna. So big offense. Indra didn't do such an offense, although he attacked also, but he brought the devotees at least together with Krishna under the shelter of Giriraj. So Brahma was very out to lunch. I mean, he was really, that was not good. So he felt so bad that he asked for a birth where he would become more humble. That's the reason why he was born. He is also called Brahma Haridas. So this is just a little side theme. It's not the main theme of Haridas Thakur's birth. It's the main reason is always given there. Thank you very much for asking this question, because I almost felt like when only telling this leela, the impression is, okay, I have no chance. Such a small thing, you know. And he was certainly a good devotee, you know, that he offered. So Manas will have the last question. Children are qualified by their innocence to hear everything, you know. Don't worry about the children. Here, two children were climbing these super sacred trees we have this question if in our Krishna Leela we can use the branches of the trees to fix a swing for the Julan, and the discussions go back and forth, and maybe there is a qualified decision. We will see the day after tomorrow what is the decision on this question by the qualified devotees. But I was also seeing the children climbing up. This is maybe one great yogi from the Himalaya who has previously served some Vaishnava who were lying in the shade of this tree to rest on his journey to a sacred shrine in to maybe Yamunotri. So now he's there, a great soul, and then Padmavati climbs on him with her Padmavati feet, and Satya immediately follows, and Manjari is standing at the root of the tree and thinking, when will I climb this tree, you know. For the children, this is children, nice children, good devotee children. They can do, maybe it's not ideal, but not terrible harm. But if I would try to climb on this tree, the yogi would kill me most probably, you know, with a trident he would come up. What are you doing? These are very sacred trees, Kalpa Briksha trees, and we should respect them. And I'm not entirely... well, our Jagatarini, who is our tree guru, has said it's all right, so I guess it's all right. But if it's not absolutely necessary, Padmavati, to climb on this tree, you might like to climb on that white tree which is there, lying there. It might be also a tree. The same thrill might happen. Hare Krishna. Okay. Padmavati, sorry, you have a question. Yes, please ask your question. See, sometimes, Padmavati, when you preach to many, many people, you feel in your heart, oh, I'm preaching to so many people, but my heart needs also some strength. I need to also work on myself, because only when I am strong can I preach to many people. So I felt the time had come where I had to be a little bit alone and charge my own batteries, so to say. Yeah. Take a little care of. That's why I wanted to hide in the room. I hope it's all right with you. Hare Krishna. Yes, is it, you understand? Yeah, it will come with you also. So, I would like to now conclude my little seminar on hearing Krishna Katha or Krishna Leela. I would very much like to make a point on Madhurya, a point which is very very interesting for you to hear. It's a little bit deep, the point, so you will have to give again the best of your attention and use your full intelligence and your full heart to understand it. In Jaiva Dharma, there is a very nice discussion about entering Krishna's Leela. And there is a discussion which is especially appealing to devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Radha and Krishna. It is said there that devotees who worship equally Lord Chaitanya and Radha and Krishna go to both Gauranga's sacred dham. Dham means in the spiritual world, and Navadvip in the spiritual world, and also to Braj, to Radha Krishna's dham. And I found this so interesting, because also the Madhurya aspect, which is moving our interest obviously here in Vrindavan, is discussed in a very interesting way. So Vrajanath asks Raghunathas Babaji, what is the final destination of those who worship Sri Gauranga? Raghunathas Babaji's answer is, Sri Krishna and Sri Gauranga are non-different in terms of tattva. They are the same absolute truth. On both are the fountainheads of Madhura rasa, nectarian, honey-like mellows. However, there are two ways in which the Madhura rasa manifest. Madhurya, transcendental conjugal sweetness, and Audarya, transcendental magnanimity. This is how the Madhura rasa manifests. Oh, I made a mistake when I said it's not how the Madhurya, the conjugal rasa manifests. It's how the Madhura, the sweet nectarian, the sweetness manifests. in transcendental conjugal sweetness, that's in Radha Krishna Lila, and in Audaya, transcendental magnanimity. That's this amount of mercy. When Madhurya is preeminent, Sri Krishna is manifest, and when Audarya is prominent, Sri Gauranga is manifest. In the original Vrindavan, Goloka, there are two symmetrical halves. Krishnapit, the abode of Sri Krishna, and Gaurapit, the abode of Sri Gauranga. You know everything. In Krishnapit reside those jivas whose devotional mood is primarily Madhurya, appended with Audarya. That means a little addition of Audarya is there. They are the devotees of Sri Krishna. In Gaurapit reside those jivas whose devotional mood is most pronouncedly Audarya or supported by Madhurya. They are the eternal servitors of Sri Gauranga. In other words, in Gauranga's realm, the main emphasis is mercy, and then there's also the Madhurya Lila. We know that Gauranga Mahaprabhu there relishes the pastimes of Radha and Krishna very, very much, and with Gadadha Pandit, who is Srimati Radharani, he will also dance In certain cases, some eternally liberated souls are present simultaneously in both the pitas, through their Swarup Vyuha, personal expansions. In other instances, particular Parshadas, that means associates, participate in one pit in their spiritual form, being absent in the other. Now, devotees who worship Sri Gauranga exclusively in the period of sadhana, that's not us, we worship Gauranga and Radha and Krishna, they attain, these who are exclusive devotees, they attain Gaurapit when they are liberated and perfect. Whereas those who worship Sri Krishna exclusively in the period of sadhana, that's also not us, we worship Gauranga, serve in Krishnapit after liberation. Then there are those devotees who in their period of sadhana worship both Sri Krishna and Sri Gauranga. After obtaining liberation, they acquire two transcendental forms and serve Sri Krishna in Krishnapit and Sri Gauranga in Gaurapit simultaneously. This is the divine and confidential mystery of the inconceivable simultaneous oneness and difference of Sri Krishna and Sri Gauranga. My dear devotees, I would like to now make a case why you should worship Gauranga also, and not just Radha and Krishna. I will tell now something very confidential, and you will need to hear, otherwise I stop in the middle. My dear devotees, for a person who has a body and a mind, either a male body and a mind or a female body or the mind, it is almost impossible to understand Radha and Krishna's Leela in a way free from mundane agitation. It's almost impossible. However, yes, they will not be able to see really the deep, deep, deep love of Radha and Krishna. Their minds and their bodies, which will be an obstacle. I would like to give you an example of how the body and the mind is an obstacle to see. Remember Rukmini. Rukmini had heard about Krishna in what is called Purvarag, the feeling of anticipation to meet him. And after she had heard from Narada Muni about the exquisite form, the wonderful qualities like his kindness to his devotees of Lord Krishna and his pastimes which always instill astonishment and wonder in the hearts of the devotees. Rukmini, who was not yet married, desired to only marry Krishna. This was the result of her hearing. She wanted a relationship with only Krishna. Now, due to political reasons of bringing two kingdoms together, she was promised to Shishupal, the antagonist of Krishna. Now, one day before the marriage, she decided, I can't do this. I can't marry Shishupal. I just can't do it. So she wrote a letter. I mean, she was not so practical, we must say. She wrote a love letter to Krishna saying, I only will marry you, and even if it takes several lifetimes, if you can't accept me in this lifetime, I will continue to fast and do things to attain you. So Krishna got this letter the night before the marriage, and he decided to show his favor to Rukmini and kidnap her, and went this huge distance in one night with his transcendental horses, which were very fast. One of the horses called Mega Pushpa. I think you can hear by this name already how fast the horses must be. So Rukmini, by family tradition, on the day of her marriage, she didn't know if Krishna had even received the letter, she went into the Durga temple to pray to Durga, and then she, according to tradition, she would leave the temple and then she would meet her bridegroom. Shishupal was already in his bridegroom dress and everything, and with him were armies, because Shishupal had an intuition that maybe Krishna would spoil his marriage to the most beautiful woman on the earth. A huge amount of armies were there, princes, and all were highly armed. So Rukmini, after praying to Durga to be only married to Krishna, came out of the temple. And it's described, when she came out, a wave of beauty came out. It was difficult to look even on one of her nails because it was so beautiful and reflected the light and so on. She is the consort of Lord Krishna. She is the eternal goddess of fortune. Imagine how beautiful she must have been. It's unimaginable, really. Her beauty was like a wave, and all these princes and generals who saw her from their elephants and from their horses were stunned. The beauty was so extremely stunning, Krishna, that they lost their hold on their horses and elephants, and they fell from the elephant. It was so beautiful. We have not seen such beauty. When I was a child, I was once in Paris, and I saw an Arabian princess who had two jaguars on her on lines. You know, was walking and was going like amazing. But I looked more at the jaguars. So I was a child, you know. So extra stunning beauty. Now Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, I've just read this recently, writes in one of his comments, he writes, did the princess actually see Rukmini? You know, they fell from the the horses and the elephants. So the answer is, yes, that's why they fell. And he comes to the conclusion, no. Because their hearts was full with lust. They didn't see Rukmini. They saw one of the many expansions of the Shakti Tattva. That is, they saw Maya Devi. As we said, Maya Devi has high initiations. She can go everywhere. They saw not the divine personality. They saw Maya Devi. What do you think about this? It's amazing, isn't it? Just like Ravana could not kidnap whom? Sita, but an illusory representation. And it is my thinking so much about this purport in relationship to Radha Krishna Leela. I am personally convinced that a conditioned soul with a body and mind does not see Krishna and Radha Krishna, but some representation of it, something which he imagines. Therefore, someone who is not qualified will not do himself a favor when he prematurely plunges into these subject matters. Someone who is a qualified speaker will not do his audience a favor. I therefore liked our presentation. It was really not my writing, Bhagavati's writing, which I read yesterday, that when it came to the part to determine, for Krishna to determine the price, then she just wrote Krishna wanted an intimate offering of love. If you go in the original text, you will see what that is, and it will not, if you're not purified, do much favor to you, because you will remember your cinema movies which you have seen before Krishna consciousness. So this is a... Now Gauranga Mahaprabhu, listen to this. Gauranga Mahaprabhu's Leela is very, very merciful. Let us start here. Gauranga is Radha and Krishna. It's very merciful, his Leela, and this is absolutely digestible for the conditioned soul, because in Gauranga Leela you will not awaken these old sanskaras which will bring you to see things wrongly. To think where Rukmini is, there is a beauty queen, or interpret it simultaneously. Therefore, Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur has written a shloka, which is somewhere in this pile of notes. A shloka which says, Yata Yata Gaura Padara Vinde Vindeta Bhaktim Krita Punya Rashi Tata Tatotsar Pati Hrit Yakasmat Radha Padam Boja Sudam No Sudamburasi. To the degree that we surrender to Lord Chaitanya's service, to that degree we gain qualification for the service of Radha Rani's lotus feet in Raja. Hare Krishna. I would like to come to another point, a last point. It's difficult to say last point. I'm not so enthusiastic. Can you still hear? Yes or no?
Yes.
Hare Krishna, I don't believe you. This, however, my dear devotees, should not mean that we don't hear Krishna Leela at all. We say we are not qualified. No, we hear responsibly Krishna Leela. Krishna has manifested this Leela with a particular intention. he has used his tremendous power to manifest his full lila in this world, or his lila in this world. Krishna, Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes in Jaiva Dharma, Krishna is Sarva Shaktiman and Ichamaya. Therefore, by his sweet will, he can easily make his esoteric lilas manifest in this mundane world, although they are unlimited and unfathomable and difficult to understand. Krishna comes, anyways. This mundane realm is extremely insignificant and petty. No, petty. What means petty, Omula? Trivial, insignificant. But still, Krishna, as the supreme autocrat, that means someone who is independent in his desires and the fulfillment of these desires, Krishna, as the supreme autocrat, desires to bring the topmost transcendental aspects of Krishna Lila to this world. It is only by his causeless mercy that his transcendental, eternal, sweet lilas, which are saturated with the rasa, have manifested in this mundane world. So Krishna brings his lila to this world because he is Sarva Shaktiman, full of all shaktis. He can do the impossible, and he is Ichamaya. His desire is fulfilled. Now, there is a beauty in Krishna Lila in this world. When we hear Krishna Lila in this world, there is a particular advantage which is not there in the spiritual world, if we want to say like this. I don't want now to say that the material world is therefore better, but there is one particular advantage. And that is that if you hear Krishna Lila, a very healthy contrast to the pity an insignificant material world is made, and this contrast will help you to see. But Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains this wonder. He says, just as a lamp does not shine as brightly in the sunlight as it does in the shade, or just as a diamond does not look as brilliant on a silver platter, the diamond is silver, as the diamond looks on the plate of blue glass, Govinda's pastimes do not appear as astonishing in Vaikuntha as they appear astonishing in the material world. Wonderful, isn't it? So in other words, if we allow ourselves to hear some good Krishna Lila, we will be totally astonished. It looks like the bright light in the night, or the blazing diamond on a blue, extremely nice blue glass plate. It looks just so nice. And that's what we feel when we hear some good Krishna Lila. We feel, I mean, good is, every Krishna Lila is good. We hear that is very, very, very wonderful. I would therefore like to make a recommendation for those of you who have read Srila Prabhupada's books. Please purchase the Sharad Darshani commentary. These are the commentaries of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur to Krishna Lila. It's very, very tasteful to read this. It's very, very astonishing. Very good information which we can hear on the basis of our parampara, and which will make our heart extremely happy and happy. Why is Krishna Lila so absolutely astonishing? Because it is not a Lila which is under the control of the agents of the world. It is under the control of Yoga Maya, that is his internal energy, which manifests to the devotees in the spiritual world what they need to know and what needs to be revealed to them. And the same Yoga Maya works for the devotees in this world who turn their back to the material energy and march on the path of the Sharagrahi Vaishnava back home, back to Godhead. Yoga Maya works also there. And this energy which gives us what we need. Mahamaya also gives us what we need. We heard this yesterday from Burijan Prabhu, that this energy works as Maya, Mahamaya, when we are in illusion by just crushing our false egos. But yoga, the same energy will turn as yoga Maya and help us in our spiritual life by arranging, making these wonderful arrangements that we come to Braj, that we hear what we need to hear, that we meet whom we meet to, need to meet as a devotee, and so on, and that there is realization in the heart what we do need to realize. And an example which I would like to give, and really I'm in time. Don't need to speed up so much. An example which I would like to give comes from the Srimad Bhagavatam. See, when Krishna left Vrindavan, Vrindavan really turned into the land of separation. The trees lost all their leaves from crying. Krishna's cowherd boyfriends, the Sakas, were lying in the valleys, pale from crying. Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Mai, the kitchen of them was not used. There were cobwebs in the kitchen, and there was a kennel from their house. Imagine a kennel of tears, which went to the Yamuna. Sometimes Yashoda would be seen on the road in the midst of the noon sky, and the elderly gopi said, Yashoda, what are you doing? It is so hot, you will get a sunstroke and die. It Yashoda said, I'm waiting, Krishna will come soon. Oh, Yashoda, he will not come. He will not come, he has not come, he had left to Mathura. No, he will come. Like he came every night at the dusk. But Yashoda, it is now noontime. To dusk is still 3 hours, 4 hours. 5 hours in some, you know, whatever the season is. The shoulder could not be removed from there. One time the elderly gopi saw her with a bag. The bag was filled with the toys of Krishna. Little cow toys, little this toys, that toy. Yashoda, where are you going? I'm going to Mathura. I can't tolerate it any longer here. And I'm bringing Krishna's toys. And I will serve those people who serve him now in Mathura. I will just be there somewhere, a maidservant. And maybe sometimes I can see from the far distance my Krishna. This was the mood of separation which was there. Now when Uddhava was sent with a love message to the Brijbasis, to Vrindavan, Uddhava did not see that Vrindavan, which I have described. Leafless Vrindavan, only channels of tears, crying, pale people, distraught, mad with pain in their heart, Krishna love in their heart. What Uddhava saw was something else. By the power of Krishna's yoga maya, he saw what is described in this shloka. When Uddhava came, Gokula resounded on all sides with the sounds of bulls in rut, fighting with one another for fertile cows. There was the mooing of cows, burdened by their full udders, chasing after their calves. Everywhere was the noise of milking and of the white calves jumping here and there. And there was the loud reverberation of flute playing. No one touched the flute when, after Krishna left. There was the singing of the all auspicious deeds of Krishna and Balaram by the cowherd men and women, who made the village resplendent with their wonderfully ornamented attire. After Krishna left, some of the gopis didn't change their dress, and the dress was full of mud because Krishna was absent and they cried so much. Huh? The cowherd's home in Gokula appeared most charming. Huh? This is what Uddhava saw. With their abundant paraphernalia for worship of the sacrificial fire, the sun. There was paraphernalia to receive unexpected guests, the cows, the brahmanas, forefathers, and even the demigods. On all sides, there was a flowering forest, echoing with the flocks of birds and swarms of bees. And beautified was Vrindavan, with lakes crowded with swans, Karandava ducks, and bowers of lotuses. Listen to this purport. Here, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says, Raj is described in 5 verses. Inspired by the desire potency Icha Shakti of Krishna, who thought, let Uddhava see the splendor of my Raj, not the separation Raj, huh? Let Uddhava see the splendor of my Raj. Yoga Maya covered the particular manifestation of Raj, which was submerged in grief because of separation from Krishna. This grieving Braj underwent the Sanchari Bhavas of disinterest in anything, depression and humility. No, Yoga Maya instead, which, remember, she was inspired by Krishna's Icha Shakti, willing potency, showed Uddhava a typical evening in Braj, in which Krishna was present, charming with the positive sentiments of joy, playfulness, eagerness, and enthusiasm. And then Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur describes this in his own words. Because the cows were in heat. Do you know what it means when the cow is in heat? It's her time when she wants to have children. Because the cows were in heat, the bulls were mad, mooing loudly, and fighting with each other to mate with them. Braja also echoed with the sounds of cows running after their new calves. I'm coming. Along with the sound of milking cows, there were shouts in all directions, such as, let the cow loose. Don't let the cow loose. Bring the cows here. Do this quickly. Do this slowly. Bring this, take this, give this, receive this. Braj also appeared splendid on account of the sound of flutes and also the singing of the gopis. The performance of sacrifices and worship beautified the homes of the cowherds. I thought this is very, very nice. Krishna didn't want to Uddhava to see tears and naked trees and disinterest, desperation, and so on. At least not yet. And therefore, he decided to use to give an order to Yoga Maya. He just wanted it, and Yoga Maya did everything as Braj is usual when Krishna is in Vrindavan. So Krishna will see what you need, my dear devotee. If you are sincere, if you are marching forward on your progressive path in Krishna consciousness. And he will arrange Yoga Maya to make all the arrangements you need for your spiritual advancement. Oh dear sadhakas in this world, don't despair. Even when Krishna sometimes appears absent, he is really not absent. He says, for those surrendered souls who worship me through Naam Kirtan and other means, I do not respond in order to make their worship more perfect. O gopis, I would like to add, O Govardhan retreaties, who do not understand my real intention, not seeing me, those surrendered souls develop a sense of deep humility, feeling, alas, oh Maya, Schande über mich. Everything I have done has been useless so far. Because I am an offender, Krishna has not shown even the slightest favor towards me. Let me be damned. By constantly thinking in this way, those who have not developed mature love for me will become free from lust and anger and awaken pure devotion, full of power and brilliance. Hare Krishna. To say it again for the sleeping souls, when you feel Krishna is not present, don't now become an atheist and go away from your strong endeavor in Krishna consciousness. Instead, become humble. I must make something. I'm doing something wrong. This is the cause. This feeling of humility will quickly remove all your remaining traces of lust and anger, and awaken in you pure devotion, which is full of power to reveal Krishna and brilliance. Hare Krishna. I want to thank you very much. We have come to the end of our little attempt to present something for your own use in your devotional service. I hope there was something in it which will accompany you through the rest of the year or for the next year. I hope you will, those who have come new, will find happiness to sit here next to Giriraj and have many good Krishna conscious realizations. We will now end the class, chant our Gayatri mantras, and in the afternoon we again start with Burijam Prabhu at 3 o'clock, and then this evening there will be also some slideshow, I believe, a slideshow on Vrindavan by Burijam Prabhu. He makes beautiful slides. If you go with Burijam through Vrindavan, you know, he makes the best of photos always. So we will see this. And then tomorrow we will get into the cars or in the autobus quite early. I don't know, Prashanta and the organizers will still think about this, and then we will sit in the shade of some other trees. If Syamdak we want to go, it's a Leela Stan, an ancient Leela Stan. Kadamba trees, you will see some very big, big Kadamba trees. And we will listen about the development of Ruchi. Madhavananda Prabhu is preparing like anything. I told him, Madhavananda, it has to be good. We expect the best from you tomorrow. So he is solidly preparing. And then in the afternoon, At 3 o'clock, we will start with a theater play here, the drama. And I request all of you to please be ready for the drama. Should maybe the devotees bring flowers for the last scene? Or yes, if you can remember to bring flowers, it will be good, because we have heard that Radha and Krishna will personally appear tomorrow. We have heard. Some parents have told us. So you need to have something tomorrow to greet them properly.